Come on, City Church. Come on.
Wow, what a welcome. Thank you so much, you guys. Come on, I can't start my message crying. Well, I just want to say first and foremost, how about that worship team? Holy, was that amazing? Now, what is so incredible is that their songs were perfect for my message tonight, and we don't communicate beforehand. Is that God or what? They chose songs that would be perfect for tonight. So I want to welcome all of you that are here in the house and those that are watching at home and just say that I thank you. I thank you for the time that you're giving tonight, and I hope that you're blessed. Pastor, I just want to say I appreciate so much the opportunity to speak. It's a responsibility that I don't take lightly, and I'm so excited to be here and to share. I'd like to open in prayer before I get started on what's been laid upon my heart, so please join me. Father, thank you. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and thank you for your Holy Spirit and your never-ending grace. Father, I ask you to please have your way tonight. Lord, I ask you to prepare our hearts and our minds to receive from you. Take me out of the equation, Lord, and use me to speak forth this message you've laid on my heart. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. So tonight I want to share from the spectacular year of 2020. Right? You're all like, no, it's too soon. What is she doing? No, no. Listen, I just have to say that this last year was a pivotal year in my walk with Jesus. And I really need to share what he's put on my heart. What the Lord revealed to me in this last year has to do with perspectives. And the way they influence how we see situations, ourselves, others, and even God. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, New International Version reads, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You see, from the scripture, there are two perspectives in life. There is godly perspective and human perspective. How I learned this biblical truth this year is what I need to share tonight. For those of you who don't know me, I am a wife to the gorgeous bass player, a mother of two children, and I am also a small business owner. I'm also the leader of the Wednesday night Women's Connect group, and it is called Pajamas and Jesus. I love to laugh, I love to dance, and I love tea. One of the best attributes is my ability to be hyper-focused on distractions that I completely miss the blatantly obvious. It's uncanny. So to get into my message of just how good I am at this, I need to take you back to 2019. Look, some of you just relaxed, an easier year. It was November, and I reached out to one of my acquaintances named Jay that I hadn't seen in a while. And unfortunately, I found that she was navigating her way through a health issue that was leaning hard towards being cancer. I also learned that her husband had just started a brand new job, and because of that, he couldn't travel with her down to New York City to see a specialist at Sloan Kettering Cancer Institute. As a survivor myself, I knew that she really needed a second set of ears at this appointment, and so I offered to go with her. I didn't even know Jay really that well. But every fiber of my being said that I needed to be her helpmate because I really thought this was my purpose in life. Now, please know that's not a boast, but rather a confession to you, is for you to understand the perspective I had of myself going into 2020. So on December 8th, 2019, we headed down to New York City for Jay's first appointment. Now, it's Christmas in New York. And no matter how tired we are or how scared my friend is, we know that this is an opportunity to distract our minds with incredible sights. So we make our way walking to Fifth Avenue for the famous tree. I had never seen it before, and it was literally calling my name. The atmosphere was alive and vibrant, and the closer we got to Rockefeller Center, the louder the music was. Thousands of people were lined up across the street as we stood in front of Saks Fifth Avenue. You got that, Polly? Taking in the Frozen-themed window displays. Now, people were cheering and pointing towards us, and I was in complete awe. Check out these window displays from Frozen. Incredible. I said to Jay, I think we missed a parade or something, and that's why all those people are over there. We get our fill of the windows and cross the street, and once we're over there, we're like, what? There, right in front of us, is the blatantly obvious reason for the huge crowd that had gathered. Saks had designed an elaborate Disney light show on their building set to the music we were hearing. Check it out. Now understand, I couldn't see this incredible sight right before our eyes because I was too close to it. It was only when I crossed the street and stood back at a distance that the whole picture was revealed. When my position changed, so did my entire perspective of what was taking place. It was like a revelation in my soul, and the Holy Spirit said to me, "Remember this, Amy." After a couple of days, I skipped ahead too fast, sorry. So now I want you to fast forward 2 months. Jay had embraced her diagnosis of cancer with grace, and we had already been back to New York for her surgery. It's mid-February. COVID is starting to spread in the U.S., and we're hearing more and more about this threat. It's at this time I begin to have an asthma attack. I literally woke up wheezing one morning, and the flare-up just wouldn't stop. And now, after a couple of days, I called my doctor's office to tell them that I needed some prednisone. And I was told, sorry, we don't do things that way anymore. The new physician who had taken over when my doctor retired required that I have a full physical before prescribing any meds to me. And the best news? Their very first opening was in 3 weeks. Okay, fine. I'm fine. It's fine. Whatever. I'll take it. So I hang up the phone, I rant around like Yosemite Sam in lipstick, and 3 wheezing weeks later, I get a call that my physical is canceled due to COVID. To reduce office traffic, they were only keeping appointments that were medically necessary. What? I can't breathe. Isn't breathing medically necessary? Well, you should go to the emergency room for that because that could be a sign of COVID. I graciously accept this information and kindly express my mild dissatisfaction, ending the call very gently. 20 minutes later, the nurse practitioner calls back and says, I'm sorry, I hear you need to see someone, and we just can't get around this new protocol. I called your OBGYN, and he's going to see you for your asthma. Well, okay then, jack of all trades, who knew? Praise Jesus. The next day, I go to my OB, and he says to me, hey, if you're on board, we might as well do all your screenings right now. You'll be done for a whole year, even though it's almost 6.5 months early. We just don't know, come 6 months, where we're going to be with this COVID thing. Let's get it all done today, Aim. Sure, why not? So he takes care of business, and then he takes care of my scripts for my asthma, and away I go. In the next couple of weeks, things change drastically. While my asthma is improving, the New York that I fell in love with is being ravaged by COVID, and the state gets put on pause. We receive the news that the kids' school is canceling in-person classes. In addition, my salon is required to close indefinitely. Just like that came emotional and financial strain. Now, mind you, this was happening while we were already experiencing an onslaught of trials, but at least we had our health, right? That very same week, I got a call from my OB's office. Hi, Aim. It's Julie. Hi, Julie. Amy, are you alone right now? My heart sank. For 17 years, I had been cancer-free. It wasn't even on my radar. But with that simple phrase, are you alone, the rug was pulled right out from underneath me. Next came appointments, biopsies, tests, scans. You know the drill. Only this time, I had to go alone and under mask. With endless questions, where have you been? Have you had a fever? Have you been sick? Have you been near anyone who drives a Honda? It felt like court depositions. It was all beginning to be just too much. The pressure building and building. I felt like I was underwater and I couldn't see the surface. The big things in front of me were blinding my view. I needed prayer. So Steve and I told a handful of our tribe that my cancer was back. It was a little release of pressure, having some of my people praying for me and checking in. They'd call and text, "How are you? We love you. Is there anything we can do for you?" "No, I'm fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. We're great. Please keep praying." "Okay." Next day, someone different. "How are you? I love you. What can I do for you today?" "Nothing. I'm good. God is good. Please keep praying." I would put the phone down and cry. Why do I do that? Why couldn't I say, "I'm not okay"? I wanted to tell the truth, but I couldn't bring myself to say the words. I felt like Paul, as he said in Romans 7:15, "I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. I hate when I can see someone is in pain and they tell me they're fine. Yet here I was doing the very thing I hate. I was hiding, and it wasn't good." When my scans came back that there was an unknown mass beyond where my cancer was known to be, I broke under the pressure. All the fear and pretending had added so much weight to my circumstances that I began to experience full-on anxiety, tightness in my chest, breathlessness. It was an awful feeling. I have to tell you that it's so important for you to know that I thought I was doing everything I knew to do. I was immersed in God's Word daily, sometimes for hours. I was connecting with all of our online groups, and I was doing my best to give it all to Him. I was journaling, praising, praying. I was doing everything I knew to do. But for the first time in a very long time, I couldn't see Him, I couldn't hear Him, and I couldn't sense Him. And that scared me more than even the cancer. I was clinging to blind faith, still upright and walking it out, yet I felt like I was drowning in my circumstances. Why? It was time to stop telling everyone I was fine. I decided to be vulnerable and ask for help. Actually, I should rephrase that. What really happened was I texted two of my leaders and told them I needed a wee bit of a break. And then I told them what they could do to give me that break. This is exactly why I laughed out loud in Ryan's message last week, because I am that person. I am that person who asks for help and then tells you how you can help me. Brilliant. By divine understanding, they knew I needed more help than I was willing to admit, and they put an incredible plan into action, one that would benefit me through my cancer and well beyond. But being blinded by all of my circumstances, my perspective was off. And I perceived their loving plan as one more area of my life that I was losing control of. I found myself face down on my bathroom floor, sobbing and crying out, "Jesus, please help me." "Amy, where are you?" "I'm on the bathroom floor, you know that." "I don't know. I'm lost." "What are you seeking?" "You, Lord, I need you. I need help." "I sent you help. You told them you were fine." "Why are you hiding? What are you so afraid of?" "I don't know. I only know I don't want this. None of it. It hurts. I'm tired. I am the one who is supposed to help others, not the other way around. Who told you that? I don't know. It's just the way it's always been. I'm losing control of everything. Child, you never had control. Only I do. Do you remember? Remember what, Lord? Please, no riddles. Amy, you're blinded. You can't see me or what I am doing. Change your position. And then I remember New York City. I remember crossing that street and seeing the full picture in amazement. And I realized right then I'm too close to it all. I then saw God touch my lungs. And I realized he orchestrated the whole thing. My asthma attack was from him. Ladies and gentlemen, if you think for a minute he is not in control of every single detail of our lives, hear me. God, through divinely appointed obstacles, caused me to go to a doctor that I wouldn't have seen for another 6 months, and probably even longer if I'm being honest, because I would have canceled it due to COVID, all so that my cancer would be found. I laid on that floor, realizing just how off my perspective has been. I saw in my mind the faces of my tribe and understood for the first time in my life, I need not hide anymore. I was not called to deny help because it comes from him. I saw myself surrounded by my beautiful children, loving on me and encouraging me when normally I would have been alone every day because they should have been in school. I saw my empty salon and realized what a blessing it was that I wasn't going through cancer while trying to service 20 clients a week. All my issues, all the things I saw as relentless problems were blessings. I saw Jesus in it all because I fell on my face and I cried out to my God when my position changed. When my position changed, so did my entire perspective of what was taking place. Psalm 18, verses 16 through 19, NIV. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me on the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place and rescued me because he delighted in me. Jesus has saved me more times than I can count. He is my rescue story. He rescued me from my blinding human perspective and gave me a vision of his godly perspective. Even when I denied the help that he sent, he looked past my pride and heard my cry. He rescued me from my fears, from my control issues, and ultimately from my cancer. It is true that he did it, but the real impact is in the how. How he lined it all up, starting way back in December of 2019 in New York City, when he gave me a glimpse of how being too close to something affects what we perceive to be true. He controlled it all and then revealed it as to forever change my character. Over the next several months of my surgery, recovery, and healing, I have to tell you, the hits just kept on coming. Our family experienced more trials and tribulations in 2020 than in the previous 3 years combined. But the difference moving forward was my ability to see God's hand. Instead of being blinded by the issues coming at us, I stepped away from my perspective and sought God's. I looked for how Jehovah Shammah was present. I looked for how Jehovah Rapha was orchestrating a healing over each and every situation. I then saw him as Jehovah Jireh, ready and generous with his provisions. When you stand in front of your refrigerator at 5 o'clock at night, looking at a plethora of decadent foods, and you think to yourself, Lord, what I wouldn't give for a salad. Just to have your husband walk through the door at 8:30 at night with a giant salad filled with everything you could love. You have to know God is working. The sweet woman who made that salad, packed it up, brought it to church and gave it to my husband, could not have known my heart's desire. But God did, and he caused her to do that. Hear me. You may think your little deeds don't matter, but they do. They are kingdom assignments. That prompting you feel to text someone, that's God. The times where it enters your thoughts to suddenly pray for someone or maybe even buy them a little something special, that is him too. It's all God. Working on the details in the fabric of our lives and using us to fulfill his outreach of love to his children. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, NIV reads, "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and one of God's household." What do we know? We know God takes care of his household. One of the ways that he does that is in the prompting of his inhabitants to care for one another. Listen and be obedient to those promptings. Now let me ask you, is it possible that you too have a problem with human perspective? Are you too close to something that you can only see what's in front of you? You have to look beyond what's in front of you and try to see what God is doing all around you. You need to ask yourself the questions. Where are you? Are you lost, drowning in an issue, in a pain, in a problem? What are you seeking? Are you wanting that problem to just magically disappear? Or do you want an encounter with the living God that will change you for all of eternity? What are you afraid of, and who told you that? Are you pressing into God's truth and promises, or are you caught up in a false perception of your circumstance, of others, or maybe even of yourself like I was, all because of your human perspective? It's time to change your position. Step back and away from your issue and fall on your knees. Lay at his feet and cry out to heaven and watch God give you a new perspective. One that's focal point says, you are loved, you are not alone, and he is in control. Listen to the promises of Psalm 91, verses 14 through 16. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him, and I will show him my salvation. Even when we can't sense him, Jesus is near. He is our very present help in times of trouble. He hovers over you, ready and willing to rescue you. Call on heaven for help today.
When I can't find the word, falling on my knees. Heaven help me, heaven help me.
Father, help us. We need your perspective. Give us vision. Elevate our minds to understand the truth of what you are doing all around us. Hear our cries to heaven and come and rescue us once again. He hovers over you, like I said, and he's ready to rescue you. And everyone says a big amen. Thank you for allowing me to share tonight. I love each and every one of you.
Come on, give Amy a good hand. That was beautiful. She just has a way of just like, I don't know, just so mellow and truth, and thank you for sharing from your heart tonight. As she was talking, I thought of Psalms 121. It says, "The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade." That means that no matter what we go through, he's always there. He's always there. So when she says to change your perspective, you know, there's a quote that says, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Right? And so our prayer should always be, God, help me to see things from your perspective. Help me to see things the way you want me to see them. Help me to see things through your eyes. And sometimes it's a journey. Sometimes we don't see it right away, right? sometimes it takes laying on the bathroom floor, or, you know, going up to your bedroom and shutting the door. Sometimes it takes those moments. But eventually, when we look to God and we can see Him moving and working through everything, He's a shade at our right hand. Amen. Amen. Will you stand with us tonight? We'd love to see you Sunday morning, 8:30, 10 a.m. here at the City Church, 12 noon at St. Anthony's. This Sunday, we're going to wear our Bills gear, so make sure, yep, go Bills. So if you have some Bills gear, bring it. It's going to be a great Sunday. Pastor is going to share a great message, and we're excited for that. If you live with the person you're sitting next to, would you grab their hand, and we're just going to pray before we leave tonight. God, I thank you for the words that were spoken tonight through your vessel, Amy. I pray that we would just take them to heart, God, that we would change our perspective. God, give us your perspective. Give us your vision, God, for our life, knowing that when we walk through something, when we're walking through the fire, God, that you are there always with us. We thank you for your hand being on every person here, God. We thank you for your goodness, God. We thank you for your love. And I just pray blessing over every single person tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, will you give God one more hand tonight? And we hope to see you Sunday. Have a great night.